Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. This November's ballot will ask whether you support changing Illinois' income tax structure. Vote no on this question. The amendment would end the state's flat rate income tax, but it will not solve our state's fiscal problems. If enacted, the constitutional amendment would no longer require Illinois to have a flat tax, currently set at 4.95% for all Illinoisans. Instead, it would allow the state to enact a progressive tax. These rates would initially vary between 4.75% and 7.99% based on a household's income level. Revenue from this proposed progressive tax structure is likely to meet the state's projected deficits and debt obligations that are coming in the next few years. And until our state's politicians get their fiscal house in order, costs will continue to grow and all our taxes will continue to increase. The progressive tax would shift the taxing burden on the highest earners in the state, but raising taxes on the highest earners will not fix our state's financial problems and, in the long run, may only lead to higher taxes for all of us. It is a farce to think the top 3% of Illinoisans will cover this additional multi-billion dollar increase in costs. If asked to do so, these top earners will simply shift assets out of our state and will leave Illinois altogether. And when our state reaches that point, who else is there to be taxed? The other 97% of us. We will be left to cover the holding the bill and lawmakers forced to pick up the tab like we always do. Additionally, we know most of the revenue from the progressive tax will be spent in two places: our state's exorbitantly high pension costs and debt obligations, and not spent, as proponents claim, on our public schools, social services, and public safety. Lawmakers have been digging themselves into pension and debt holes for decades, and now they expect us, the taxpayers, to pull them out. But we taxpayers did not create these problems. Lawmakers' poor policy decisions did. Taxes should not be raised on the folks that had nothing to do with the policy decisions that got us here. Adding to the already dismal financial situation is our state's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The sudden, months-long halt of our state's economy means less tax revenue for the state as businesses are not open, workers are laid off, and consumers stay home. Ironically, proponents will claim these lower tax revenues will be used as further justification to support the progressive tax. Don't be fooled. This unexpected pandemic should not be used to advocate for a change in our Constitution. Now is not the time to enact a progressive tax in Illinois. The progressive tax will not solve our state's financial troubles and will, in the long run, lead to higher taxes for all of us. Let's tell our state lawmakers to get the state's finances in order before they come after ours by voting no on the constitutional amendment in November. Corn, cotton, and soybean yields are likely to hit record levels in 2020, according to USDA's crop production report released on August 12th. For the 2020 crop year, USDA estimates U.S. corn yield to be 181.8 bushels per acre, surpassing the previous record-setting estimate of 178.5 bushels per acre earlier this year. USDA has 2020 soybean yield estimates rising to 53.3 bushels per acre, up from 49.8 bushels per acre estimated earlier this year, and surpassing the record yield of 52 bushels per acre set in 2016. USDA estimates 2020 cotton yields to reach 938 pounds per acre, up from 923 pounds per acre in 2019, surpassing the historic record of 904.7 pounds per acre. Prior to the report's release, analysts pegged the average corn yield at 180.4 bushels per acre and the average soybean yield at 51.3 bushels per acre. Ahead of the report, cotton analysts estimated cotton production would decline to 17.19 million 480 pound bales. Earlier this week, then-presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden selected Senator Kamala Harris of California as his vice presidential running mate. Harris, a former California Attorney General, was elected to the Senate in 2016 to succeed fellow Democrat Barbara Boxer. Harris's four-year Senate tenure hasn't produced a long voting record on Farm Bureau's key issues, but she supported the 2018 Farm Bill, has taken up the interests of farm workers, and took positions on key trade issues, including opposing new trade agreements. She was one of only 10 senators to vote against the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement implementing bill and opposed the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was negotiated by the Obama administration. President Trump ultimately withdrew the U.S. from the TPP shortly after his inauguration. The ripple effects of COVID-19 have been very damaging to dairy farmers. However, while the Dairy Margin Coverage Program was helpful in the early months of the pandemic for producers who had elected to receive coverage, in recent months, many participating dairy producers have been without support. Due to a combination of time lags in the reporting of prices, negative producer price differentials, and dairy markets' reactions to COVID-19 and other government support programs, USDA's Farm Service Agency announced DMC did not make payments to any producers for the month of June, and it likely will announce zero payments for July as well. The average value of agricultural cropland is $4,100 per acre in 2020, unchanged from 2019, but in line with the record highs seen in 2019 and 2015, according to the Agriculture Department's recently released 2020 Land Values Report. Similarly, the average value of cropland, including all land and buildings on farms, was $3,160 per acre for 2020, unchanged from 2019's record high. The average value for pasture land was $1,400 per acre for 2020, again unchanged from 2019. Cash rental rates for cropland averaged $139 per acre in 2020, down $1 per acre from 2019. The stability in agricultural land values and cash rents occurs amid continued pressure on farm income and commodity prices. This stability is likely a result of low interest rates. The 10-year Treasury is less than 1%, a lower turnover ratio for agricultural cropland, and a competitive cash rent market for farmers seeking to capture economies of scale. Importantly, the cash rental rates were negotiated prior to the impact of COVID-19 on crop prices. On the back of COVID-19-related price shocks and record-high cheese price, the July Class 1 milk price was nearly $2.60 per hundredweight, or 13% below where it would have been prior to a 2018 Farm Bill change, spurring the withholding of 8-plus billion pounds of milk over 2 months, a 32% reduction from the prior year, from federal milk marketing order revenue sharing pools across the country. As a result, FMMO revenue sharing pools were short $527 million in June and $667 million in July, for a combined $1.2 billion. This shortfall caused record-low FMMO minimum milk prices across the U.S. that showed up in dairy farmers' milk checks as negative producer price differentials. The PPD in California, for example, amounted to nearly minus $10 per hundredweight for July. Put simply, most dairy farmers are not happy. To make matters worse, public and private risk management tools were unable to protect against these record-large milk check deductions. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.